And welcome back to Success Made to Last. I'm Rick Tokini. November is National Adoption Month, and we are going to be talking today with a very special guest, Hope Baker, who will help all of us understand that open adoption can lead to beautiful relationships for everyone involved. Hope is the author of a book called A Birth Mother's Journey into Light. It's a fantastic book. It's very insightful, and she is an extremely forthright guest. Hope, welcome to Success Made to Last.
I am doing very well. There's a blizzard in Minnesota, but I'm surviving it.
Well, that's good. We are so fascinated by your story, and when we did a little research in preparation of the show, we went to your website, and what a wonderful, nice welcome to know that we are welcome in Hope Land. Hey, let's start with your positive backstory.
Yeah, Rick. So, well, first off, thank you so much for having me on. My story begins long before I was pregnant in college and made the decision to place my son for adoption. But the book really surrounds that journey. Just the feeling of brokenness and aloneness that I went through after making that life-altering decision. And I never wanted anyone to ever feel like that again. I remember sitting there thinking, you know, how am I going to survive this? How am I going to get through another day? I wish that somebody understood what I was going through. I wish that the people around me understood. And I made a decision early on that I was going to share my journey because I didn't feel like anybody shared their journey with me, or that I could find another birth mother story. And I didn't want any other birth mother to go through that. Adoption is really, you know, it can be beautiful in so many ways, but it's so traumatic. And I really just wanted to share that journey. And let me tell you, my book, there's parts of my book that I remember sending the publisher. I'm like, hold on, let's take that out. I don't know if I'm ready for the world to hear this story. And at the end of the day, I came to the conclusion that in order to share my authentic story in the full picture, I can't leave any detail out. Even if I'm scared of judgment or anything like that, I have to share the whole truth and nothing but the truth to help other birth mothers and other adoptees and adoptive parents and just anybody who's been through a struggle and had to climb their way out of, you know, a really dark hole.
I think your story has never been told. And to millions of birth mothers out there and the rest of all those involved in the circle of adoption, would you provide a few words of encouragement to these millions of people that have been involved in the process of adoption?
Yeah, you know, there are millions, even just in America. There's millions of birth mothers, there's millions of adopted parents, millions of grandparents, birth grandparents. So my message is always the same to them, is that you are not alone. This is the adoption triad community. You're not alone. We've all gone through these struggles. We've all struggled in different ways. Nobody's journey is the same as mine. My journey is different than an adoptive parent or an adoptee. But I really just want to shed some light on the fact that knowing you're not alone can literally change your life. Changing your language about what you're feeding into your body through your words can change your life. If you are in a dark place and that's where you think you're going to stay, you will stay there. If you can find a way to change your mindset, you can really change your life. And that's exactly what I did. And it wasn't pretty. And sometimes it was scary for myself and those around me. But finding that positive light in every single day and in every single moment can really change your life. And find your community. Mm. That's another big piece, is to any birth mother out there, we don't have to go through this alone. There is a community out there. It's hard to find, but there is a community out there. And even if you don't buy the book, come to me on Facebook or Instagram or anything, and I will help you find a support community.
That is so very inspiring. Hope, can you describe your aha moment when you went from darkness to following the light?
Yeah, my aha moment was a very scary moment for me. I struggled with addiction in the thick of my journey when things were really dark, and I was on a 2-weekend drinking and just partying bender, and I came home and I was in the fetal position shaking, and I remember thinking, this cannot be my story. Like, this cannot be where my story ends. This cannot be my life. And I just remember feeling like all of the sudden, what am I doing? I'm going down a bad path. And just that rock bottom moment. And let me tell you, I was a person who, even in high school, you know, even when something was wrong, I had friends, I smiled, I got good grades. And even in the thick of my addiction and depression, I was doing good at work. I seemed just like this happy-go-lucky person. Those are the type of people that we spend a lot of time going through our feelings alone. So when I had that moment on the floor, I decided that I was going to let people in and get a support system and move forward and make that so that wasn't my story. This addiction-riddled life was not going to be what people knew me as and was not going to be the legacy I left behind. I was going to change my life and help others change theirs.
That's beautiful. And I think that there's a deeper appreciation for you from talking to you for the last few minutes, that you respect that everybody's story is different. But I also think that a great book is one where people find a little bit of themselves in that same story. And this is why this book uplifts so many people. And I think that it is about a longer term journey, and you can't mark aha moments for one person versus another. You have to find it on your own. But this is an enabler. This is almost like an accelerator to say, here's how Hope Baker lived and continues to live. You can make your choices as well.
Yeah, Rick, I have aha moments every single day. I mean,
do you really?
I do. Like, that was, oh gosh, that was just the one that was a big one. That was like an earth shattering, you know, I got to change my life one. But I have aha moments every single day where I'm like, wow, okay, this could be different. Or if I shifted my mindset, think of how much a better day I could have at work, right? If I just shifted my mindset this way. So I'm totally with you. Our journeys don't look the same, but I have had so many people reach out to me, have read my book in the adoption community and out, and said, you know, there were tears. There were so much similarities. We all have been through trauma in our life. It doesn't matter who you are, where you were raised, how you were raised. We've all had trauma in our life in some way, shape, or form. And the ability to change that mindset and get onto a path of happiness and positivity, it's hard. And we all have to face that, right? So I think that a story like this and a journey like this, I think, can really show people that it doesn't matter the situation that you're in. That part doesn't matter. What matters is what you do after that and what you do because of the situation you're in. Are you going to rise above and find a way to find the good? Or are you going to live in that darkness? And a lot of people live in that darkness. I was one of them. And even today, sometimes I still catch myself living in that darkness, and I have to get myself out of it. I got to have those aha moments and get myself out of it. But I think we can all relate to struggle and trauma and just trying to, you know, live a life of happiness, even when it's really hard to do.
That's exactly right. I want you to speak hope to the adoptees that are out there that, at least from doing other shows about this, our headline is that there is a feeling of rejection on the part of the kids that were adopted, and that their biological mothers and fathers said, no, it's best that we give you up. Can you speak to that stigma and help perhaps those listeners out there that were adopted to know that they weren't rejected and that they're not secondhand roses? Please address that.
So I live with this thought and this fear every day, is my son going to wake up someday and hate me? Is he going to have rejection problems his entire life? And I think that that's a valid feeling. But what I've always said is that if love was enough, I would have my son with me right now. He would be playing in the snow with me right now, if love was enough. I think that when you think about it, and when there's language like give up and, you know, all of these languages, it's seen in a negative light. And like I said, adoption is messy. It can be beautiful, but it's messy and it's traumatic for everybody involved. And I just want adoptees to know that I have not met one single birth parent. And my, you know, 7.5 years of being a birth mother who didn't think about their child every single day and didn't wish for them the best life they could give. In fact, a lot of birth parents and the expectant mothers before they give birth, they feel like they're not good enough and that their child deserves better than them. And that's a society thing. That's a whole nother conversation, Rick. But I just would like adoptees to know that they are so wanted by so many people. And for adoptive parents to also remember that there is so much love that a child needs. And letting the birth parents be involved and involving them in the child's life is first off extremely healthy for the child. And who doesn't want more love for their kid, right? So I think as adoption reforms and moves forward, we're going to see a lot more openness, and that's going to lead to less rejection, you know, feelings by adoptees, and more openness and just love going around.
Yeah, well said. I thank you for addressing that. That's a ultra sensitive topic, and I think that you stated it well. And you know, there's something else going on with Hope Baker that we love a lot, and it's the fact that she has stepped up as a coach, an author, and now you're getting into lifestyle products. And when did this vision come to you that you should be talking to a larger audience, because you're kind of the girlfriend that a lot of people need?
Exactly. That's exactly how I see it. So, you know, I just have always felt like there is a voice to be had. I mean, when I think about my journey, I've gone from, let's talk about the lifestyle side. So I've gone from being a small woman to a plus size woman to a small woman to a plus size woman. And when I, you know, when I'm in that plus size woman phase, there's not a lot of fashion out there for me. And there wasn't a lot of people out there guiding me in fashion. So I was drawn to that because I felt like it was something that needed to be shared, and, you know, all bodies are beautiful. And when you think about coaching, I mean, I went through something very traumatic and I found a way to rise above it. And I personally feel like everybody should have that person in their life who can help them rise above it. If my story helps somebody get off their, you know, get off of the ground and get off that bathroom floor, then I want to do that. And I want to be there to help them and provide the wisdom that I have discovered through my journey. So, you know, it's the overall picture. Like, I'm a new homeowner. I've got a puppy. I've got a lot to share and a lot of knowledge and a lot of, hey, this is the mistake I made here. Like, let's try to make sure you don't make that mistake as well.
It's really cool. I mean, it's like you are allowing us into the corner of your home to experience all that. And I'd love for you to get a commentary a bit on your diet, because I know that there's you've gone through a keto journey, and I have a daughter and son-in-law that are trying to force that down our throats, and I'm sitting there going, I don't know. So maybe you can address my own personal doubts this morning about keto.
Yeah, Rick, that's funny. A lot of people who are keto try to get everybody around them keto. And I will tell you, keto was great for me because I lost like 40 pounds pretty quick, but it's really hard to sustain. So yeah, and that's great, but it's really hard to sustain. So what I've tried to do with my life in all facets is let's focus on moderation and everything, right? Let's focus on moderation, whether it's drinking or desserts or, you know, the different food items. Like, I try to just stick to a moderation diet when, you know, there are days through the week where I'll do full keto 2 or 3 days a week. But I don't push myself to try to keep up with keto, because let me tell you, it's hard. And if you try it, you're going to see it's very hard. And it sometimes leaves you feeling like you're not good enough because you can't hit those or keep under those card numbers. And I don't like to feel like that every day. And I don't want everybody else to feel like that either. Right. There's a moderation piece here that we can talk about.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. It is about moderation. And it's not one size fits all. It can't, you know, there's no particular diet. We're all different. We all have a different makeup. So I like that. There's a pattern of philosophy here. Why don't we extend it to being a owner of a new puppy? What tips do you have now that you've experienced some of the puppy years to new dog owners relative to welcome to Hope Land?
Yes, welcome to Hope Land with a new puppy. So my dog is about 6 months old. And you know, just to start off, Rich, you're right. I do let the world in because I think that it's important to see all different sides of it. You'll see me on my Instagram when I'm having a really bad day and a good day. So I share it all. That's the same with the puppy. I mean, my biggest thing has been consistency with him and making sure that I have treats with me at all times to reward him for good behavior so that he knows which behaviors are good. But I'm telling you, puppy land, like, the biggest thing that I have learned is just to be consistent. And when they do something good, even if it's so, so, so tiny, celebrate it like you are having, you know, the biggest birthday party in the world for them. When they do the good things, just have the biggest party you can every single time, because that's how they're going to learn what's good. And I may look like a crazy person when I walk my dog. We do about, you know, 2 to 3 miles a day. And if he's walking by my side, I am jumping and hollering and cheering, like, go, Bauer, yay! People probably think I'm crazy because they're not sure what he's doing good, but that's a good thing to learn. That's a good skill to walk right beside me. So throw parties for your dog when they do the good things.
What's weird, Hope, is that what you just said could be used in corporate America, within families. It's not just a dog thing. It's how about celebrating good behavior and being kind to each other and doing the right thing and being consistent. And isn't that an amazing universal truth?
It absolutely is. And, you know, my day job is working in corporate America. So I try to bring that philosophy into my work, celebrate everything. And I'll tell you, when I do something really great, I want to be celebrated too, right? We all do. So if I, you know, and that doesn't always happen in corporate America because that, you know, not everybody is going to have that mindset to celebrate even the little wins. But what I do, and this is I have this on 3 whiteboards in my house. I've got notes for myself all over my house, affirmation cards, you know, what are you going to do this week to make sure that you have a happy week, a good week, a healthy week. And I have in there that I need to have daily dance parties. So if something good happens in my day, I am going to tell Alexa to turn on some music and I'm going to dance it out in my kitchen or my office or wherever, because that makes me, you know, that lifts my spirit. And even if I'm having a bad moment, I'm like, okay, let's throw on, you know, some Alanis Morissette and just dance it out.
There you go. I have a suggestion for you, knowing that you're going to start a podcast in 21, that this show becomes your debut show, because you have, and you've probably done lots of podcasts in the past, but you're really fusing a great life philosophy here of joining Hope Land, and it goes way beyond your initial subject matter. So I applaud you for your holistic thinking, because I think that's what it's going to take in life for people to be happy. And for us at our network, we're all about trying to find best version people. And knowing that there's not some panacea or prescription for that, everybody goes their own direction. But we love the pattern that you're taking and what you are embracing. I think it's a model for enduring success.
Rick, I really appreciate that. You're making me blush over here. I really appreciate that.
Hope, wrap up this show with a word of encouragement to our listening audience. My sense is that we as a nation are sort of caught in a funk with this pandemic. Provide us some hopeful words.
Yeah, I'm going to give a three-part advice. First off, acknowledge and let yourself feel what's going on and know that every single person around the globe is also feeling that. So know that you're not alone, because I think that that one thought alone can lift people up. The second piece of it is, you know what? Turn your music on and have a dance party. I'm telling you, you would be shocked at how much a quick dance party in your living room can really shift your mood. You can't make smart decisions. You can't make, you know, positive decisions and decisions that are going to lift you out of this if you're in a bad headspace. It's just not possible, right? I think when we make decisions in crisis, when we're in a negative headspace, the outcomes are not, it is not as desirable. So find those ways, whether it's a dance party or, you know, listening to a positive podcast or, you know, reading an uplifting book, words of affirmation, find a way for you to get in the right headspace. As challenging as it is, maybe it's taking a bath, but really just try to get your head in that right mindset. And the last step is, listen, the COVID is going to end. The pandemic is going to end. It will end. And what are you going to do so that you're prepared to take your best foot forward when you walk out of your house when this pandemic ends? Do you hate the job you were working before? Are you unhappy in a relationship? Do you want to move to a different place? This is the time right now to try to figure out what do you actually want in life. And if you're a busy parent, maybe that's 10 minutes before you go to bed. Is this what I want to be doing? And I think after COVID, when the pandemic clears, it's going to be a great time to make those big changes in our lives.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Hope. And we like being in Hope Land. This world is your oyster, young lady, so you go after it, girl.
All right. Thank you so much, Rick, for having me on. I really enjoyed it. Look forward to talking to you soon.
And thanks again to Hope Baker for being a part of our show. Her book is A Birth Mother's Journey into Light. Make sure and buy it, read it. It's an inspirational narrative. We know that you'll like it. Hey, thanks again for the support of this show by Gracefully Yours greeting cards. We sure appreciate their support. They are America's favorite encouragement cards. Go to gracefully-yours.com today to find out more information. And thanks again for joining us on this program. As we always say, may you live the best version of you. Have a great week. So thanks to our sponsor, Edward Jones. They are our trusted financial advisor. And Edward Jones has been instrumental in helping us pivot our lives built around health, happiness, travel, and adding value to other people's lives. You can contact our advisor, Serban Marasini, by emailing him at serban.marasini@edwardjones.com. And thanks again to their sponsorship of this program.